Eat, Sweat, Play. How Sport Can Change Our Lives by Anna Kessel. Read by Anna Kessel.
Introduction. I didn't think I could write a book about women and sport. I don't play sports. I bunked PE my whole school life. And if a ball comes anywhere near my face, I blink. I get nervous walking past a game of football in case I have to kick the ball back to someone and spectacularly fail, which is kind of a career hazard considering I've been a sports journalist for the last 12 years. So when the idea was first suggested to me, I said no. Short of a chronic case of imposter syndrome, I couldn't imagine preaching to a converted audience of hardcore sports lovers. What would be the point? These women are already out there doing their thing. The issue is that there are all too few of them. The majority of the female population doesn't engage in sport, either playing it or watching it. Why is that? The more I thought about it, the more I thought about the contradictions. Most of my female friends don't call themselves sports fans, but they get excited about watching Wimbledon or the World Cup or the Olympics. They might not exercise regularly, but they've probably done a 10K or played badminton or table tennis. They just didn't necessarily like PE or can't remember who won the FA Cup. And the women who are crazy about sport aren't getting an easy time of it because society casually dubs them unfeminine or rubbish at it or lesser sports fans than men. So that as women, whether we love sport or loathe it, we are constantly being defined as incompatible with it, alien, odd, other. For men, sports and exercise are all part of the same active spectrum, but for women, they're presented as two very distinct things. Exercise, with its approved end goal of delivering you a better body, is revered for 21st century women. From the launch of Netta Sporte, serving up sports clothing for fashionistas, to the introduction of hashtag Planky and Fitspo for the Instagram generation, exercise for women has gone mainstream. Where once celebrities were forced to sneak out of the back door of a gym, red-faced, now the likes of Victoria Beckham and Ellie Goulding proudly head out on four-mile runs or for boxing sessions in the park. What was formerly known as the sweat patch of shame is now triumphantly circled in gossip magazines, a mark to be revered. But sport for women is seen as distinct from all this activity. Sweating from sporting exertion is not seen as beautiful. Its raison d'être strays too far from appearance. And that's precisely why sport is so important for women. It's a rare moment in our lives when the emphasis is on playing, being in the now. It's also about determination and grit, not losing a few pounds or looking great, but absolutely wiping the floor with your opponents. It's about winning, showing aggression, being competitive, openly rejoicing and being proud in doing all of these things. It's also about fun. And when we really think hard about it, women are not encouraged to have fun very often. Unless you buy into advertising speak about tampons, curling your hair and shopping for a kitchen. So why is sport consistently defined as male territory? Who decides that TV cameras replicating the male gaze should habitually seek out the most beautiful women in the crowd? When will women ever flock to watch football, rugby and boxing in their millions? Or turn up to the park with friends for a Sunday morning kickabout? How long do we have to wait to see the first multimillionaire female footballer or basketball player? And what is it really like to be an elite female athlete? Never mind training regimes, what happens if you reach the Wimbledon final and you're on your period? In fact, what even is the deal with exercise and periods? Has anyone researched this stuff? Who are the scientists looking at how boobs respond to exercise? Whether female orgasms help or hinder women from winning trophies, and whether you can run off your PMT. Have we even figured out what to call our bodies?